Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Hey everybody, this is Matthew Soltysiak and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast. Using my sportscasting background, I speak with a variety of guests and interview key players to gain more insight on what makes this team go. As the Detroit Lions enter a new gritty era, we'll look beyond just the kneecaps when it comes to the analysis. Welcome to another episode. In this episode, we take a look back at the Detroit Lions' Week 15 victory against the Denver Broncos. We break down the Lions' 42-17 win. We're going to discuss what went well, which was quite a bit. We'll talk about any pivotal moments in the game and any concerns as well as takeaways and major storylines coming out of this contest. Let's get to it, Lions fans.
Hey, everyone, this is Lomas Brown, and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast.
I'm joined today, as usual, by James Cook, the senior sports writer for the Traverse City Record Eagle. You can also hear him on the Get Around podcast. That drops on Mondays. James, good to have you here as usual.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man.
As we get into this, I want to remind the listeners, please hit that subscribe or the like button. It is helping us build momentum, a little bit like the Detroit Lions are building momentum. James, what a game we had here. I think this is the game we were hoping to see. We thought the Lions were capable of producing, but we just weren't quite sure we were going to see. Here's what Coach Campbell said right after the game.
We just needed to win, and we did that today. And look, we just cleaned up, a couple of things, you know, and focused on our job at hand, the details of it. And honestly, we didn't start real hot early. We didn't. And we can't do that. We can't accept that. Not with where we're going. But we got out of it. Defense played well and found our rhythm. I thought Goff played a really good game. A number of guys did. The O-line played their rears off. And, you know, I mean, everybody in there, you know, played big for us. You know, it's a good win, man.
So, James, how are you feeling after this game?
Pretty good. A lot better than after the first quarter. I think what happens when you don't turn the ball over.
It's amazing because we haven't seen many games from the Lions where turnovers have not played a role, especially in the first half. And you're right. The Lions did not get off to an early start, a hot start early on the offensive side of the ball, but the defense kept it. I mean, they kept it 0-0. And I think that might've been one of the big difference makers.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they got that early fumble with the Saints and recovered that, got some good field position with that. And then they didn't do anything with it scoreboard wise, but you know, the punting on their first three possessions. But then after those first three possessions, they scored touchdowns on six of the next seven drives that they had.
That is incredible. The offense was rolling from the second quarter on, and I think that starts with the offensive line in this game. They gave Goff some time. They provided some running lanes for the running backs. It was nice to have all five of those guys back.
Yeah, having a completely healthy line just was huge in this game. I thought they might even run more just because of that fact, and the Denver's run defense has kind of been the weakness of their defense so far this season. But the Lions were able to throw the ball well, too. A lot of that off of play action. And, you know, you were there at the stadium, too. So you heard how many times during the game they said number 70 is reporting as eligible. So they were using that six-man line quite a bit during the game.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, Dan Skipper was reported eligible a lot. And so every time they said it, we're like, I guess I said to one guy, what would you do if they actually threw the ball to Dan Skipper? Now, no, we know that's not going to happen. He's reported eligible because they want to increase that run blocking and the ability there to just give different looks. But you're right. They were putting six-man fronts out there. And this is about as good as our offensive line has looked all year.
Yeah, every time they would do the 70 is reporting as eligible, and not every time, but a couple times I would turn to my wife and I would just go, Skipper, you know, from Gilligan's Island. And yeah, that six man front was nice. It helped stretch things out a little bit for some of the, especially for some of those Gibbs runs outside. You know, I like seeing that look. You know, they've got the personnel to be able to pull it off. We saw some other different odd looks here and there. Moving, changing things around. They had James Mitchell lined up as a fullback on one play.
They did. They threw some different looks out there. And if we can go back to Dan Skipper for just a minute, I mean, man, anybody that knows that story of that guy, you just got to be thrilled for where you've seen his career evolve to. I mean, just go back to watch Hard Knocks from 2 years ago and just see what he has been through. And actually, it was last year, I believe Hard Knocks was. But it just seems like 2 years ago because we're almost done with this season. But man, what an incredible story he has had, and talks about effort and determination and how that can pay off.
Yeah, I think he's one of those. He's the exact kind of locker room guy that Dan Campbell wants. You know, he's a grit guy, kind of turned himself into that guy who can come in and be a nice swing lineman for you. Good guy to have around in the backup, and then add as that sixth lineman when you need to do those power run formations.
Well, and the running game is what really got it going. And you're right. The Lions only carried the ball 28 times. Gibbs and Montgomery. Gibbs 11 for 100 yards. That's 9.1 a carry. And David Montgomery 17 for 85 for 5 a carry. And you like you said, you would have thought they might have run more with those success rates. But that really set up the play action pass well in this game.
Yeah, it did. I mean, you saw there was one of the plays where the Lions were down on the goal line coming right at us, because I think your seats were right below mine, in the section right below mine. And you saw the Broncos put out like a true goal line defense where they took all four defensive tackles they had on their roster, and that was the line. And Goff audibled out of that and threw it. It didn't complete the pass because the guy wasn't open, so he just kind of threw it away. But I think that's just kind of good recognition by Goff of you know, hey, this defense is going to kind of give us the pass here because they're absolutely loading up against the run on the goal line.
Well, and Jared Goff has been under some criticism, especially as of late. I even heard it inside the stadium where some people were back and forth about him. And Jared Goff was asked kind of, you know, how the game went and what was the thought process behind it. And here's what he had to say.
I'm sure Dan said it in here, but he's been preaching it to us all week. Like, we are the same team we have been. The same team we were in week one, beating Kansas City. The same team that, you know, has had, you know, great games on the road, or, you know, we're the same team. Nothing's changed. And I think every team goes through that, but our superpower is how we respond. And it starts with Dan, and then it goes to me and through the offense and the coordinators and the coaches, everybody. Our superpower is how we respond as a team, as a unit, as a group. We've been through a lot of adversity as a group, and a three-game lull where we've, you know, won one of three. It's not the worst thing we've been through. So being able to bounce back is something that we've prided ourselves on. And tonight was a big one to bounce back with.
So Jared Goff had an incredible game. I mean, the man was 24 of 34, 278 yards, 5 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. That is an incredible stat line. 5 drives in a row, touchdowns. Actually, the Lions had 6. So I think they ran one of them in. But You can't ask for a better performance. There were a couple times he got sacked. I think the one that happened in the fourth quarter, I applauded because the Lions were doing so well. He took the sack rather than risk having some momentum turning event, and it just kept the clock running. But he didn't make mistakes, and there weren't any turnovers. And so, I don't know, maybe this will help adjust the narrative a little bit on Goff. What is your reaction to all this?
Yeah, I think the narrative on Goff is completely related to turnovers. You know, if he doesn't turn the ball over, he's going to be a great quarterback and people are going to love the production. If he turns the ball over like he did for a couple weeks in a row there, you know, people are going to have some criticism for him. At this time around, you didn't have that. Like you said, taking that sack was a good decision. Instead of just, you know, instead of risking taking a fumble or throwing a bad pass, you know, taking an interception at a bad time and maybe letting Denver back into that game, you know, with some good field position or a long return or something like that. So, I mean, you know, it's disappointing to see somebody take a sack, but there could have been a whole lot worse outcomes there that he avoided.
For sure. And the offensive line did a great job of allowing him to have a little bit more time to throw the ball, a little bit less pressure. When we wrap up with the offense, we'll talk about our defense a little bit, and we'll talk about the pressure Russell Wilson faced here in a couple minutes. But you could see how much more comfortable Goff was and how he's able to get the job done. And he didn't make the big mistakes. I think you hit the nail on the head there, James. It really comes down to turnovers with Goff. We know he's not going to be the mobile quarterback. He's not going to make those plays with his legs, but he doesn't have to because he can be accurate and he can read a defense. He can check down. He just needs the time and he needs to not make those mistakes.
Yeah, exactly. And he's got the movement skills enough to move around in the pocket and extend the play a little bit. You know, he's not like a Russell Wilson where he's going to be running around all over the place. More like, and I'm not comparing him directly to this guy, but more like a Tom Brady where he would just navigate inside the pocket and create extra time for receivers to get open. And Goff is kind of like that. You know, again, not saying he's Tom Brady or anything, but similar style as far as what he does in the pocket to create a little bit extra time.
Sure. And if you want to compare his mobility skills to Tom Brady, I think anybody would allow you to do that. And no That's one's going to fault similar, you yeah. for that. And so let's look at the guys who are catching the ball from him. I mean, let's start with Amon-Ra St. Brown. And man, I just feel like we're spoiled with this guy because whenever you say something, you kind of are just like, oh, he had 7 catches, 112 yards and a touchdown. And you're like, oh, yeah, well, that's what he does. But that's not what a lot of people, that's not what the majority of wide receivers in this league do. And he had a bad couple weeks. And, you know, Goff even talked about it. The thing about this team is they respond, they regroup. And St. Brown had an amazing game. And that touchdown that he had was the epitome of Amon-Ra St. Brown and his toughness.
Yeah, he had a great game. I mean, there's just no two ways about it. I mean, it's hard to say other than he had the great game that we hoped he would have the last couple weeks that he didn't. But throughout the rest of the season is pretty much this is what he's been doing all the time. So it was nice to get that back.
It was. And the nice thing is there you have to feel like there's some pressure taken off of him on the receiving part of this offense due to the drafting, the emergence, the rise of Sam Laporta.
Oh, yeah. Sam Laporta is definitely the number two option in that passing offense, without a doubt. Almost was number one last this week. I mean, in the red zone, for sure. You know, and they're getting the ball to Jameson Williams a little bit more, featuring him in there. You know, you've got a little bit of Khalif Raymond. Some Josh Reynolds had a couple of nice catches this week. You know, even Donovan Peoples-Jones had a nice catch over the middle and stuff. So the receiving core is nice and deep now, you know, fingers crossed, healthy. You know, you got to like the direction where things are going, even as far as the overall health of this team in comparison to other NFL teams is pretty solid.
It is. And we like you and I are aware we could be getting CD Deuce back here in the next week or two. And if I stay on Sam Laporta for just a minute, he had 5 catches, 56 yards and 3 touchdowns. He's setting new franchise records for rookie tight ends for the Detroit Lions. And I want to point this out. This happened, these 5 catches, 56 yards and 3 touchdowns in one game happened on the same day that TJ Hockenson set a career high for receptions. He did it earlier in the day for the Vikings. He was only like 2 short of his career high. He has a new career high. Good for him. I'm happy for him. I'm excited and ecstatic, though, for what we got going on with Sam Laporta and where we're headed with the Lions and what this is looking like. And you're also right on Jameson Williams. He was involved more in the offense. And I think you're going to continue just to see that grow. And you're right on the depth and the health. And things are looking really good. It's like the Mustangs getting a tune-up right now.
Yeah. And not turning the ball over is just giving them that many more opportunities to take that Mustang out for a stroll.
It is. And it's not putting our defense in bad situations and creating vulnerability. I mean, if you look, our defense was up 35-10 in the fourth quarter. And, you know, we didn't score in the first quarter, but the Lions coaching made great decisions. They punted. They didn't do anything too crazy. And again, I'm not going to fault them for being aggressive or doing trick plays, but you've got to analyze the situation. And for the most part, they've done that. They've admitted themselves. There's been a few times they've maybe gone the wrong direction on it. But for the defense to play a game where you're up 35-10, I'm not even counting that last touchdown by the Broncos, because we were just in the play a shell, don't get beat deep on anything quick and fast. And that defense played a game that we haven't seen in a long time.
Yeah, I liked what the defense was doing there. They seemed to be shuffling linebackers in and out of the game a lot more than normal, and defensive line too. I mean, which is normal to move your defensive line in and out, but they seem to be doing a little bit more than they have earlier in the season, which I think really kept that defense fresh. And I think, you know, you saw a whole bunch of different guys producing on that defense too. Nice game from Josh Paschal.
In this
game, you know, he had I think he had a sack, he had another tackle for loss, made a couple other nice plays in the run game. So hopefully this is the emergence of another defender along the defensive line that can help. And then Isaiah Bugs, the return of Bugs, you know, he had that fumble recovery. You know, I was rooting for the fat guy touchdown there, if I was him, though, I would have pitched the ball to somebody else, because he had some guys that he could have pitched the ball to, and I think they might have been gone.
I think a couple of his, at least one of his teammates, was asking for the ball, so I think they said they're going to give a hard time to him during the week for that. But I believe it was Ifeatu Melifonwu who caused the strip sack fumble on that play, and they got pressure on Russell Wilson from then on. And it was the first level, it was the second level, it was the third level. I got to give some big credit to Aaron Glenn on this, because I thought it was a well-schemed game. And I also thought they didn't stand status quo. They made adjustments with personnel in defense. I mean, I was a little bit surprised. You saw Jerry Jacobs basically exclusively on special teams. And Coach Campbell said he's vital on special teams and he plays a great role there. But we saw Kendall Vildor and Khalil Dorsey play in DB quite a bit.
Yeah, I was happy to see that. You know, Vildor impressed me a lot. You know, you wonder how long Brad Holmes has had this card up his sleeve, signing this kid. He's not actually a kid. I mean, he's 29. He's been in the NFL since 2020. He was a fifth round pick, you know, for the Bears. He came in and played pretty well. He played pretty well in the time that he played last week as well. So I think that's a nice kickstart or jumpstart, I say, for the defense there, and that Jerry Jacobs had been struggling.
Yeah. And then, you know, the other thing is, I think I mentioned when the Lions signed him to their practice squad, I looked back and in the offseason, some Bears fans were hoping they'd actually trade Vildor away for some draft picks. And so it was kind of interesting that he just kind of got let go, if memory serves me correctly, and we were able to grab him. So that is nice. And then Melifonwu, he has upped his game. Both of those guys are adding a lot of help to that secondary.
Yeah, Melifonwu has been pretty darn consistent there when they've asked him to play at that safety spot. I really liked what he did in this game, and he seemed to just always kind of be around the ball. I like that they brought Vildor on that cornerback blitz one time that really really short-circuited a play there for Russell Wilson. The defense as a whole just seemed to be pretty good. You even saw a little bit of Levi Onwuzurike making some plays too. They can get some production out of him. Just one more guy. Oh, you saw Jalen Reeves-Maybin playing regular snaps at linebacker. I mean, they went fairly deep into linebacker this week, deeper than you've seen in most games.
They did. I know Barnes got banged up a little bit, but I think he came back in. But the front of the defense did great as well, not just getting pressure, but they only gave up 83 yards rushing. And we have a good rush defense, but Denver's got a good rushing offense. And I think what impressed me the most was we had some major stops on short down yardage situations that really surprised me. I mean, there's a couple times they got some stuff, but that was going for it multiple times. But our rush defense did great again.
Yeah, they went for it on third and one and fourth and one quite a bit. The Broncos did. And the Lions did a pretty decent job of stopping those fairly regularly. I know there was a lot of fans saying that on the one before the touchdown, they got negated by the offsides call on the right guard. A lot of people were saying that Sean Payton should have challenged that play because they thought the guy was in. But the Lions were made it close enough so that the referees called him down at like, you know, the 1 foot line. And that's on Payton for not challenging it. It's interesting. I wonder if he's just frustrated at himself for not doing that. And then they get, you know, the penalty on the next play. And then he just starts yelling at Russell Wilson on the sidelines and the referees. I mean, he was going crazy.
Yeah, he was quite upset. I think he threw the challenge flag on the field to challenge the penalty, actually.
Yeah. Well, and it showed the replays and the still footage showed that it was the right call. Yeah.
A combination of things, but that comes back to the Lions making it close enough that it put a little pressure on Denver.
Yeah, for sure. And you saw some of the other things that the Lions did that made Denver do stuff that they don't necessarily normally do, in that you know, they were prepared for Dan Campbell rolling the dice whenever, you know, and whenever the Lions did punt, they never doubled the gunners. They were always ready for the fake.
That's a great observation, and that changes your return game when you're doing stuff like that.
Yeah, and they never really got any returns.
I also like that we won time of possession. It's only by a couple minutes, but I still think that's a key stat for our team. I love that our offense was 6 for 6 in the red zone. And James, let me ask you about this, because we talked about we're surprised the Lions didn't maybe run a little bit more with the success they had. But they came out passing in this game, and they were passing, passing, passing early. And they passed for most of their touchdowns. 4th down and 2 in the final minutes of the game, they threw a touchdown pass. And so did it surprise you a little bit that they did a little bit more of the passing? Or do you think that, and do you think maybe that was a strategy thing to counteract what teams were expecting?
Well, I think that they helped. They set it up. They set it up with the run, with the play action. You know, the Broncos were worried about the run, obviously, and because that's kind of what their defense is not great at. So I think they overcompensated a little bit at times to try to stop the run, and that leaves the pass open. And you know, Ben Johnson's going to take what the defense gives him a lot, and that's what they were giving him.
That was great. The Lions offense was 6 for 6 in the red zone. You got to love that. The other things I liked, the play calling. I love the play calling on offense and defense. I loved our aggressiveness on defense, and we kept Russell Wilson off balance most of that game. And so anything you liked else that we didn't mention yet before we keep moving on, we'll briefly touch on anything we didn't like or any concerns.
One thing that was interesting, and you probably noticed this at the game too, is that that one touchdown that they reviewed of Denver's where they weren't 100% sure that it was a catch. And I don't know if they had this on TV or not, but in the stadium, they had put the touchdown on the scoreboard. And then while the refs were watching it, they took it off. The touchdown got taken off the scoreboard, and Denver had actually run its offense back out into the field. Like, they were expecting it to get overturned.
Totally. Yeah. Russell Wilson, everyone was out there. I'm like, well, the guy hasn't even made an announcement yet, but Denver must have seen what we all saw. And Denver must have been convinced, because you're right. Their offense was back out there. And then they joyously jumped and ran off the field once it was ruled the way it was. That was a big surprise. I agree with you on that. So let's turn. We got to talk about, is there anything you didn't like? Any concerns you have on this game?
I liked that the defensive line was able to generate a lot of pressure, but the frustrating part was that they didn't turn that into too many sacks. They weren't able to finish the job on a lot of those pressures. But they did regularly get pressure on Wilson and make him move around and run around in the backfield quite a bit when he dropped back to pass. So, you know, that was, I think, an interesting thing. One of the things that I don't know that it's a concern, but it was interesting and surprising, is Jared Goff managing to overthrow Jamison Williams on a deep pass.
Yeah, you know, that's something I've got actually in that, and maybe concern area, or the ability to connect on a deep ball. It seems like they're not there yet. And like, there was another pass where it looked like maybe Jamison Williams looked inside when the pass went outside. And so maybe connect a little bit more on a deep ball, and maybe working on just a little bit more between the two of them. But I think most Lions fans would be surprised by that statement you just made, that Goff overthrew Jamison Williams on a deep ball.
By quite a bit, by like at least 5 yards. Like, it wasn't even close. He couldn't get his hands on it.
Yeah, I mean, I've got nothing else. Just, you know, like to see connect on a deep ball a little bit better. But again, we're nitpicking right here. You know, they had some good third down stops. I'm not going to say that's a concern. That's a good thing. Denver was only 5 for 13. There was one or two plays where they did pick up a third and long. One, I think, was a penalty aided thing. Just want to continue to see on third and long that we get off the field. But I'm not even going to say the third quarter was a concern, because I think even though we gave up a touchdown to drive and to open the drive in the third quarter, we responded. So let's move to pivotal moments. All right, pivotal. I don't think there's any turning points in this, but I think there were some pivotal moments. First one I would say is the first quarter. Pivotal moment there was the defense did not allow a score because our offense was not warmed up yet. And I thought that was huge to keep us from getting a hole and changing our game plan.
Yeah, and that early turnover on the strip sack and the Bucs recovery, I think, was big too, because the Broncos were moving the ball a little bit early on, and that kind of really took all that momentum that they had away from them. I mean, you know, they forced the Lions to punt on the first three possessions, and then after that, all the momentum went Detroit's way. But if they were able to capitalize on that possession and get a score, that could have been a turning point in the game.
That's a great point, because you're right. I mean, they went down the field pretty quick early there, and it could have been that it could have gone that way if they had had some success while the Lions offense wasn't doing much.
Yeah, they had that big pass play right off the bat to Jerry Jeudy, and that was another one of those things early in the game. I was just like, oh, here we go.
Yeah, I hear you. I was right there with you. Another thing I thought that was pivotal is every time that Denver scored, the Lions responded. I mean, we went up 21-0 at half, but then in the third, Denver got a touchdown, but we came right back and got a touchdown. And even after they got that field goal at the end of the third, we came back and got a touchdown to start the fourth. We responded every time. And that was pivotal, because it kind of just kept that margin big enough that things never really got tight for us.
No. Yeah. Yeah. They kept it nice and distant, which was nice. It was nice for the fans in the stadium too, to not have to be on the edge of their seat the whole time.
That is true. I agree. So let's look at some major storylines coming out of this game, where we're at right now. Let's start with the changes on defense. We briefly talked a little bit about Vildor and Dorsey playing over Jacobs. And Campbell said, you know, he said Jacobs is a big special teamer, so that has helped just in a different way. And then the way Ifeatu Melifonwu was making plays at safety, and he's been elevated as well. Want to kind of know what your thoughts are on those adjustments. I think it's a big deal, because it shows the Lions aren't just satisfactory with what they have. They've got pieces and they're moving them around, and they have competitions going on to see who can better help the team in different situations.
Yeah, it is good to see those things, you know, because the defense wasn't so good, you know, in the last month or so, that they can just sit on their laurels. You know, it had been noted as the weak point of the team for the last month or so. So they did need to do some changes there. You also saw a pretty good game from Kirby Joseph, and he's been a guy who really has not had a great season so far at safety, after being great as a rookie, hadn't kind of made that next step as a second year player. And he had a pretty good game this time around, some nice pass deflections and stops.
He definitely did. I would say Alex Anzalone bounced back really well on defense, and you know, a game removed from being injured and stuff. He had a great game. I want to bring up something that I do think is interesting, is the kicker. All right. Handful of hours before the game, we're seeing stuff that the Lions have elevated Mike Badgley. Here's what Coach Campbell said about that.
Yeah, this is they've been competing now for about 5 weeks. I mean, before the Chargers. So this was something we wanted to do, get Badge a go with Riley, and they've been battling out, and he won it for this game. It just was right, and it's been that way for a while, and this was the right move, and so we're going to go there, you know? Got a lot of faith in Badgley.
So I'm not going to question them elevating Badgley to replace Riley. It surprised me, because Riley was a healthy scratch, and I'm not going to question it. I have rooted for Riley to become that guy that I hoped he could become. But after missing that second extra point of the season last week against the Bears, I can't say I'm shocked by the move because the Lions have recognized, like you said, they can't just sit on their laurels. Things aren't going perfect. And even if they are, you'd always look to improve. But they knew they needed to do some reevaluation. And they brought Badgley up as one of those. And he was consistent for us last year. And I'm actually surprised someone didn't take him off our practice squad earlier with all the kicker issues going around the league right now. What were your thoughts on the kicker switch?
Yeah, it was interesting. I think it probably does go back to that missed extra point and probably hopefully just something that Campbell's doing to tell Patterson, hey, you need to be a little bit better. We've got this other guy here that can do it if you can't. So get a little bit better, man.
Well, it sounds like they're going to go with Badgley at this point moving forward right now, because he did say they've been battling for a while. So it sounds like he's going to be the guy. So I'm not sure how that would work with the roster, with active issues, and as far as, you know, can you put Riley back down to the practice squad or not? But that'll be an interesting thing to keep an eye on, because every point does matter.
Yeah, I mean, you can. You just have to expose him to waivers to put him on the practice squad. So that's your only danger there.
Well, I want to touch on the game atmosphere, because we were both there, all right? So tailgating ahead of time. I've never gotten to a Lions game so early and tailgated that much before a Lions game. But that was a fun experience connecting with Lions fans from all around the state. We were spoiled. I mean, if you want tailgating weather in December in Detroit, you don't expect the mid-40s and dry. That was pretty amazing.
Yeah, that was cool to do. It's kind of cool what some of those Lions super fans do. And turning it into charity events and into fundraisers for charities and things. And it's a pretty cool experience for fans if you haven't gone.
It is. I agree. And they do some really good things. The super fans is a great way of putting it, because it's incredible. Their dedication and, again, raising money for others. And you talk about the experience. James, I want to talk about the experience right before the football game. Because a few minutes before kickoff, there were a handful of media people down on the field. And, I mean, I've got a picture of you on the Jumbotron because you were down on the field. Tell the listeners a little bit about your experience down there.
It's just a thing. Each week during this high school season, the Lions pick a coach of the week, high school coach of the week. So they have a panel of media people from around the state that help them pick that. Who that coach is going to be during the season. And then, we get to vote in on who the coach of the year is at the end and all that kind of stuff too. And for our time and everything, they bring us down to a Lions game, and we get to go out on the field with the coaches that get actually honored. So it's a cool thing.
That's awesome. It was great seeing you down there and getting to see you on the Jumbotron as well. The atmosphere of the crowd was amazing. It got loud. It caused at least one false start. It definitely caused some miscommunications. There was one. Denver was on our side of the field, and you could tell with the handoff, what the quarterback thought the running back was going one way. He had to quickly adjust on the fly. But you could tell their timing was off a couple times, and they even had to call a timeout once. So the Ford Field crowd, the roar was real, and that was pretty awesome to be a part of and see it and hear it.
Yeah, that's as loud as I've ever heard that stadium. I mean, there was a couple of times there, man, where it was almost deafening. And you saw the Broncos have to, you saw parts where when Russell Wilson wanted to call audibles, he had to call all the players over so that he could say it right into their, yell it right into their helmet. Instead of, he couldn't just call an audible at the line, you know, like Goff was able to do on offense. So it was just way too loud in there for them to be able to do that.
Yeah, that was amazing. Great atmosphere, which is why we want a home playoff game. And let's talk about that playoff picture just briefly. If I can quote the great Jimmy Cliff, I can see clearly now the rain is gone. Minnesota lost, the Lions won, which means one win by the Lions and they win the division. There's other scenarios to just clinch a playoff berth, and there's a lot happening on Sunday afternoon, Sunday night, and even Monday. So we won't necessarily go into all of those. But James has got to feel really good knowing the Lions are one win away from winning the NFC North.
Yeah, for sure. And just watching the Vikings and seeing them kind of be human after a really good month or so stretch here. And I think it's important for fans too, Lions fans, to just realize that during the course of the season, every team is going to have those bad games and lose to a team that they shouldn't lose to. And the Lions have done that a couple times last week, and it's made all of us incredibly frustrated. But if you go back and look at the schedules of some of the other best teams in the NFC, you know, the Dallas Cowboys lost to Arizona. You know, Philadelphia lost to the Jets.
And you know what, James? I agree with you, and I agree with you on those points. And I think the Lions, they're going to be better for having had these losses because it's not smooth sailing. There's adversity. Like Dan Campbell said, like Jared Goff said, it's the same guys in the building. They didn't go and get a whole bunch of new guys. They brought some pieces in due to injuries and some adjustments that needed to be made. But going through adversity in the season gets you that much more prepared for what's next. And since the Lions beat the Packers last year after their 1-6 start, they have not lost consecutive games. So that talks about that ability to bounce back and learn from things the week before. So I think this adversity that they've gone through is just going to make them that much stronger. And if they can finish the season on a slightly upward swing again, well, then it leaves you that much more optimistic heading into the playoffs, which it seems like the Lions are going to be doing.
Yeah. It's best to get those games out of the way during the regular season than to have them happen during the playoffs. And when we've seen all of the other, I would say what you think is the other three top contenders in the NFC have all had those kind of games this season too. You know, so when people think that the sky was falling because you lost a bad game, you know, to the Bears or Packers, the other teams have had that too.
Yep, and now we'll be interesting to see what the national media narrative is for the Lions as this week goes on and we get ready for Minnesota. James, thanks so much for being here and talking Lions as we usually do.
No problem. Thanks for having me on, man.
Folks, thank you so much for tuning in. You can find all the episodes at NotTheSameOldLions.com. If you're listening on YouTube, please hit that like button. While you're at it, tell your friends about the show and please subscribe regardless of your listening platform. Until next time. Stay gritty, my friends.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.